You're listening to the Dr. Abrasive Show.
Man, what's up, my good people? This your boy, Tony, coming to you with another episode of the Dr. Abrasive Show. Coming to you on an early Friday morning. Got a little late start. I had to do a little something, and I'll talk about that when I get to a little bit later. But this show is a podcast you can listen to on most podcast readers. You can just search out Dr. Abrasive Network, and you'll get this show and all the content that I like to bring to you. And then, on top of that, you can be a part of the show by leaving feedback at any of our platforms that we have. Our social media is Dr. Abrasive for everything. And the email address is feedback@drabrasive.com. That's what you can do. And then, I guess, I got a voicemail line, a dedicated voicemail line, if you want to call in and leave a little something for me. That phone number is 662-855-1223. Go in, call, leave a little quick message, and I'll play that thing right here on the show. Maybe you want to leave a little feedback, a little discourse with some of the stuff I'm going to talk about on here. But without further ado, man, let's get into what's going on this week. Just a random thing, man. I was sitting there thinking, man, because the new hot topic of the day is the YNs, a.k.a. the young niggas. You know, young niggas be wilding and this and the other. And this is funny, man, because I am so taken aback, man, because you know, this growing old thing is, as germs say, it's your rite of passage to get old and judge the younger generation. It's just funny, man, because we sit here, we talk about young niggas all the time, man, and we forget, man, some of the most formative shit in our life was crafted by young niggas. For instance, hey, man, Pac and Big were young niggas when they got shot. These niggas wasn't no older than 25, 26. You know what I'm saying? That's prototypical young nigga age right there. If you think about who in that age group right now, you're looking at artists like Megan Thee Stallion and Glorilla. You're looking at all these little young rappers out here. I mean, you think about niggas like Drake and J. Cole and Kendrick. Them niggas older. You got these little young rappers out here. You call that Blacks and shit. You know. Those are your young niggas, the ones that were born in the late 90s, early 2000s, something like shit. A 24-year-old born in 2000 straight up. You know what I'm saying? The young niggas were barely alive when 9/11 happened. You know what I'm saying? So those are the folks that we're looking at right now, some of the really young athletes. Because I was sitting watching the Athlos event, which was for an all-ladies event. And they had Masai Russell out there. Like, she's 24 years old. Like, damn. She a young nigga. She in that crowd of the young niggas. And then if you watch their social media stuff, man, that's all they be doing, man. They be hyped on that hot young music, man. I know this stuff ain't for us, but hey, man, that's what they into. That's what they get into. That's their stuff. Some of it won't ever cross over to us. I think the big debate, especially when it comes to like entertainment culture and everything with the young crowd that we don't get as older people is that for them, this is their striking point. This is their love. And when they get older, they're going to, you know, cherish all of that. The thing about it, for us, what we don't recognize is a lot of stuff in that culture don't really cross over to the older audience. So we don't get it. But, you know, the stuff that they do, that they have, that do cross over to us that we enjoy, you know, we put a plug in it. I mean, because there's some things that came down the pipe when I was in my late 20s, early 30s that, you know, the college kids were into at that time that, you know, we held on to a little bit, like Gucci Mane, for instance. Gucci Mane and all this, him and Jeezy and everything, man, that was a lot younger than us, but we was out there hyping that shit, though, dog. We were loving that shit. And not saying that it's classic in our mind, but we can hold on to the Shawty Lows and the Young Jeezys at that time and the music that they was making. So, you know, we was there. We were trying to hang on to the little youthful exuberance that we had that long gone from us, but we were still trying to hang on a little bit. And some of that stuff still, you know, hang on in the annals of our history. Not to cherish what young people are into, but you know, kind of understand it. I kind of get it. Man, let's get into some of this. Just talk about some of this sports, man. First thing out the gate, you know, in WBA news, we made it to the finals, y'all. So the finals were two teams that one team I saw, and the other team I did not see coming on strong. So the Liberty eliminated the Aces in the semifinals. So that three-peat was put to rest. I figured it was gonna be New York and Connecticut. I don't know why I say UConn. New York and Connecticut Sun were gonna be the finals, but the Minnesota Lynx, man, they came on strong. They put on a good fight and made it to the finals. And the game was on Thursday night. They played the game one, and the Lynx came out with a win, man. So hey, might be seeing the title going back to the Lynx if they can hang on. Back to the days of the Maya Moore, man. But shout out to them. Shout out to them. In the NFL, I'll get to them a little bit later. I'm gonna go straight to college. So college football we got going on. We had a couple of games happen this week. A lot of upsets. Vandy upset Bama. Arkansas upset Tennessee. Mizzou got the brakes beat off them by Texas A&M. We saw a couple other schools just hang on to what they got going, and that leads me straight into my top 12. Hey, I know my top 12 looking a little shaky there for a while, but I went through, I made a little tweak into it, and hey man, we got some changes in here. So let's get down to what the top 12 look like. So if my top 12 was a playoff bracket right now, the 5-12 matchup would be Ohio State versus Virginia, the Big Ten versus the ACC, with Ohio State hosting a school like Virginia. That's not something that we thought we would see, but man, these early games will be something that will be matchups that you don't normally get on a Saturday for some teams that, you know, was either surprising this year or, you know, some main against some mainstays. Shoot, continue that on. Looking at the 11-6 matchup, but these are two Big Ten teams right now. It probably won't shake out that way in the end, but hey, for right now, I got Penn State at number 11 going to play Oregon out there on the West Coast in the Northwest. So 11 Penn State, 6 Oregon. At the 10-7 matchup, I got BYU traveling to play Miami. So Miami's holding on to the number 7 spot right now. And then at 8-9, I got SMU and Texas, a all Texas showdown, because SMU's come on and surprise people. SMU is doing some things out there in the ACC. They're putting up some wins right now, so we see they can hang on strong and do that. For the four byes that we have here, at number 4 is Texas A&M. I mentioned them beating the brakes off of Mizzou. At number 3, got Texas Tech quietly holding on in the Big 12 out there. At number 2, got Clemson. I said, hey, Clemson can keep on winning, man. That little loss to Georgia is gonna go away after a while. And then at number 1, I got Indiana. And Indiana is another surprise school. They're in the Big Ten right now. They undefeated. They hadn't really played in a tough test right now, but hey, they tops in the conference at the moment. And we'll see how that thing shake out. They got a long test, man. The Big Ten is deep as a motherfucker. So whoever come out on top of that one's gonna they get a get that vibe. Will be pretty solid. But as you can see, I got three Big Ten teams up in this motherfucker right now. Got two SEC teams, I see. Yeah, two SEC. Let's see, ACC got Miami and Clemson and Virginia. So got three from the ACC. ACC. Hey, man, they're gonna show up. Some games that can make a break this, shake this up this week. That's some pretty decent games. Not a lot to talk about. First one on here. Did I mention? Oh yeah, I did mention. First one on is we got the Red River rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma. That game will be kicking off around 2:30 on ABC, ESPN Plus. Texas is gonna be coming in this game in the polls. They're ranked number 1, with Oklahoma ranked number 18, which Oklahoma's only lost so far came to Tennessee, but with Tennessee going down, that kind of makes them look a little rough. We're gonna see if Oklahoma is a contender or pretender in this game, and if they can hold up and beat Texas, man, maybe they can get back into the discussion of being one of these teams that can make the playoff. But as it stands right now, Oklahoma is one of those outside SEC teams trying to fight and claw their way back in. The other game that I got this week that's going to be something to watch is Oregon versus Ohio State. Oregon will be hosting. Both teams are undefeated coming in this game. Ohio State is number two. Oregon is ranked number three. So it's a 2-3 matchup. And this is going to be on NBC and Peacock. Hey, the game kicks off at 6:30 Eastern time. So, hey, I think that's going to be one to watch. That's going to set the tone for the rest of the season real quick. I really don't see the team losing this game really taking a big hit. It can set the loser up for, you know, a slide if they don't come out with some of these later games, because both of the teams got some big games coming down the road. But right now, this team, these two teams are teams to watch. This is, like I said, this is going to be Ohio State's first test, man. You know, I told you, Ohio State don't really play no tough teams. But, hey, on my poll, they're sitting up in there pretty high. Only reason why they don't get the bye is because they're behind Indiana right now. Both them and Oregon are behind Indiana in the conference with conference wins. But, hey, get some more conference wins and slide on up that the top of that chart and might move on into that bye spot. I really see the Big Ten being probably either one or two when it comes to the final rankings. So who's going to be at one or two is going to probably come out of the Big Ten. SEC is going to need an undefeated team to be in that one or two spot right now. They probably will get that fourth one. We'll see. We'll see, man. They got a lot of games still play in this game. But some college football news. I talked about some of the games that happened. Malachi Moore, he's Alabama defensive player. Hey, man, he was crashing out when they were losing against Brandon, man. There's videos of him, like, just having a whole complete meltdown on the field as the game was going on. He came out, apologized, said he was completely out of line for his outburst. And all I can say, man, is when you see stuff like this, man, you can tell which players were kids for helicopter parents. You know what I'm saying? You know, you had that parent there to tell him, like, "Hey, man, listen. Sometimes it's gonna happen. It's gonna be all right." He don't have that support system around him to let him know that, "Hey, man, you're not gonna win them all, dog. You can't just be out there just having a meltdown on TV." But that's what he did, and that's what we saw. So for that, he's a crash out of the week, I guess. Oh, man, that kid was losing his mind, dog. All right, let's see. I'm moving over to some NFL news right now. NFL happened. Let's see. We got some games. So with it being Friday morning, we had a Thursday night game. I didn't see the final score. I want to say it was 13-0 at the time. But the 49ers pulled out a win. 36-24 over the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football. Had a pretty solid game there. The defense was looking pretty solid early on in the game. They only gave up 3 points up in the first half. In the second half, they gave up those key points, the key 20, the three touchdowns there at the end. But they, like I said, they held on to get that win. Geno had a solid game, man. Threw for 300 yards and a touchdown. And the 49ers plugged in another running back in. Let's see. Got another running back in there. He rushed for 99 yards. And Debo had 102 yards receiving and a touchdown. He took a long one to the house. Oh, man. All right. So, as we got here for the games on Sunday, the early game in London, we got the Jags versus the Bears. This whole game came with a little bit of controversies where people were basically talking shit to the mayor of Chicago, I believe, and asking him, was he going to be going to the game? And, he's like, yeah, he's going to the game on a business trip, but he is going to go. I mean, he's going to London on a business trip, but he's going to watch the game. I think people do forget that some of these cities do take this opportunity to, you know, highlight their cities and then what it can do for them economically and so on and so forth, especially when you talk about going international and bringing some international business back to your city. So to talk shit about the mayor leaving, going other places, when some of these other politicians be leaving all the time, man. Ted Cruz out there chilling, on a beach, you know, while there's a hurricane headed toward Texas. You know, he ain't giving a fuck about these people, and nobody, no, people gave some flack for it, but for the most part, nobody cared. As MJ calling Governor Onslaught was out of the country when the hurricane came to Texas. You know, his lieutenant governor was doing all the damn, you know, the press work there, but nobody was really making a big stink out of it. Go back to the game. This opportunity to see the Bears looking is going to be still solid. They beat the Panthers last week, so the Jags are not looking too hot. They're at 1-4 right now. The Bears are 3-2. So, hey, man, I think the Bears have a chance to go out and take an early win at in London. We got the Packers hosting the Cardinals. Low key, the Cardinals are looking pretty solid week in and week out. I mean, it's not consistency. They are at 2-3 right now, but you know, like I said, they're looking pretty solid. I think the Packers can still get this win though in Lambeau. Anthony Richardson, I don't know if he's playing this week, but the Titans and the Colts and the NFC and the AFC South matchup in Nashville. Titans, let's see what Will Levis do this week. I'm putting this game on Colts. This is a game where those two quarterbacks from that draft from that last year's class get to face up 1-on-1. We're gonna see what Will Levis do this week, but I'm gonna get a Colts this win on that one. Then we got the Texans traveling to Foxborough to take on the Patriots. This easy, should be an easy watch for the Texans. They're sitting at 4-1 right now. I you know, like I said, Patriots are a team in rebuild mode specifically. So look for the Texans to come out on that. The Bucs and the Saints in the matchup of rivals in the South. The Buccaneers have been playing pretty strong. The Saints just took that loss to the Chiefs on Monday night. Look for the Buccaneers to come out strong and take this W. I got the Eagles taking on the Browns, and the Eagles should get this win in this game. Everybody already talking about how they're gonna get rid of Deshaun Watson here. That's pretty good. But when you get rid of him, is get him a, hang another L on him. The matchup of the man, the Ravens and the Commanders. Who thought this was gonna be a game coming up, looking at the schedule? I mean, regionally, you know, it's always a game when the Commanders and the Redskins and the Washington football team and the Ravens match up. So the Washington Commanders coming to this game, sitting at 4-1, riding high, looking good with the young quarterback out there, going on against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry's. And hey, the Ravens don't look like impressive. They won the game. They don't look too impressed. They beat the Bengals last week. That game came all the way down to the overtime. But I do look for them to bounce back in it. I think they can bounce back and beat Washington. Washington do have a pretty solid defense on this. So, if I see the Ravens getting it, you know, getting the shit back together and taking this W. Got the Chargers and the Broncos. Hey, look out, y'all. The Broncos are sitting at 3-2 right now. Chargers are coming in here, coming into Broncos City. Let's ride. Broncos, yeah, give them that win. Get the Broncos that win. I also seen everybody giving Ryan Clark some flack because of his commentary on the way Bo Nix went off on what's your boy name? The coach. Man, I can't think of his name. Sean Payton. Went off on Sean Payton on the sideline. And yeah, pretty good. Turn around fast play because you know, Sean Payton really wasn't high on Russell last year, and he gave Russell a lot of heat in the media for him not being his guy. The Steelers and the Raiders. Steelers just came off their loss against the Cowboys. I think they should come on back and get back on the winning ways here to bring themselves back into, you know, some good graces to beat the Raiders on the road. That's a old school rival right there. That's back in the 70s when the Steelers and the Raiders. Well, yeah, look for the Steelers to go in there and get that win on the road. Cowboys will be hosting the Lions. You know, the Lions is an all-star team, man. Real impressive squad here. I think the game is going to be pretty close, but, you know, in the end, the Lions can't hold it out. They got a, you know, pretty young defense that they can put out on the field to match up with that the weapons that Dallas has. And Dallas is banged up, too. So look for the Lions to go out there and take the W. NFC South. I keep messing up the conferences. NFC South matchup in the late game with the Falcons and the Panthers. Both of the teams are, whew, the Falcons find a way to win, so I give that to them. Two other teams that, man, need a win bad on Sunday night, the Bengals and the Giants. And I know coming into this, probably people didn't understand that this probably was a game that people thought were going to be pretty good, but in the end, it's not going to be that great of a game. It's probably going to be ugly out there in MetLife. And I need the Bengals to go ahead and get that win so they get that second win, man. They're sitting at 1-4 right now. And like I said, they're not looking real good. They're looking real sick right now. And then on Monday night, we got the Robert Saleh-less Jets versus the Bills. This was a Monday night game that opened the season last year where we saw Aaron Rodgers go out. Rodgers came out, you know, Hackett is his guy. He wasn't really big on Saleh, but he wasn't trying to blow up his spot. But we could tell that him and Saleh wasn't getting along too well. They fired his coach, their coach this week. Man, we only early in the season, man, we're 5 weeks into the season. Excuse me. Going into October, second week of October, and they already getting ready to go without their coach. And the Bills should take this win. Go out there and show them up. They're going to look bad. The Jets' offense stink, and getting rid of Saleh was not the thing. And I guess they want to put it on Hackett, give Hackett the keys to running this team the way he wants to run it. But we've seen the way he's done it before, man. He did it out there in Buffalo. Oh, no, Buffalo. He did that out there in Denver, man. It wasn't that great. I mean, he's not that great of a play caller. Man. He's not the just a wise play caller that they want to prop him up to be. And then the Chiefs, the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Vikings are all on bye this week. So we got two undefeated teams on bye this week. Not wait, Chiefs, yeah, Chiefs still find a way to win. Yeah. So those are my picks this week for the NFL. Those are my picks for the games this week. Let's see what news do we have that I want to talk about. The Giants have a running back that's been having a pretty solid game, man. Good couple games. The rookie Tyrone Tracy. With Tracy and Neighbors, man, the those two guys, man, can be the stars on that offense, man. They just need a couple other pieces to get them together. Hey, they might be able to put some, you know, a run here in the middle of the season. You know, the rookies, as they start to mesh, the ones that look good start to pop up right at the end of October, November, start to look good. So I want to see how he goes there. Nico Collins is put on the injured reserves for the Texans. He was doing pretty. He was one of the leaders in the league in receiving yards. So man, to lose that is a big piece for the Texans. Would love to see who's gonna step in and fill this place, man. You know, they still got Tank Dell. They got Stephon Diggs. You know, they got what's his name is on. He was out last week. Joe Mixon was out last week, so don't know what his status is going to be for this week. But hey, Mixon is back, and those two receivers, they got a pretty good chance to, you know, put some things into play. That's my sports talk, y'all. The NBA is in preseason, you know, so you're going to start hearing some little talk about what's coming out of these camps and what these things should be looking like. But, you know, we're in that stretch where right around Halloween, they kick off the regular season. So, time to move on in to see if Boston's going to be the team and if all the teams in the East are tooling up to be able to take Boston down. You know, we got Big Cat is in New York, and we got Playoff P in Philly. So is that going to be enough to slow down the Boston team, the Boston squad that, you know, went out there and took that title last year? Entertainment-wise, man, so for me, it's that time of the year because it's football season, and that's usually around the time that Matt Sanger come back. I've been watching that. I'm only watching the first two episodes. So John Elway was on that thing. He came out there, was doing his little singing from a chair situation. I forgot who was on the second episode, and I didn't see who got unmasked on the third episode. So I'll check that out later. On the Marvel front, watching Agatha All Along. Hey, this week was, man, it ended on a nice little note, man. We got the test for these witches. They're going on a witch's road, and each witch getting a test. On the first test was for the potion witch. Second test for, I guess I call it a musical witch. I don't know. But this one was for Agatha, and we got to, you know, we find out what her motives are, a little bit more about what she's trying to do. We had another witch to meet her demise, and got a nice, like I said, a nice little reveal at the end as to who a character that popped up in the series is, and now making me think, like, hey, he did do something early in the season that he shouldn't have been able to do. Does that make him who we think he is? Pretty good. That's pretty good. And then on the, which I haven't watched tonight, well, last night, I haven't watched it yet. I'm probably going to watch it after I get off of here, is that Reasonable Doubt. Man, Reasonable Doubt, man, still hitting. Right now, we coming out to the little fallout from Lewis finding out that he that baby daddy. he shot the club up, man. He had baby daddy because, you know, he's been a little emotional. And you know what? I didn't finish the episode because they were about to go and talk to the new baby mama, the side chick, the side mama, you know, about the break baby. And I stopped right there. So I need to go finish that episode up. I just thought about that because I do remember the last thing I saw was him knocking on the door and Jack popping up out the background. It's like, hey, we come to talk. How we going to do this thing? Man, the music, bro. Man. So, listen, man. Whoever is in charge of putting the music to the show, they get stars from me. Because the first scene, or early in the scene of the latest episode that I saw, was basically them, you know, reconciling over the differences they had, Lewis and Jax, and, you know, how they've been going back and forth over their relationship and their marriage. And Lewis had apologized, and Jack said his apology, man. And they went to do that nasty thing. And the soundtrack to that was Money Long, Make Me Forget. Cause I saw that, heard the first, the first few keys of that song. I was like, is this what I think it is? I'm like, okay, I hear that little kick. Oh yeah, that's what it is. It's that Money Long, man. Pretty good, man. Have watched some Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I've been off and on this. Only thing I guess about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, man, is I feel bad for Young Jock, but I don't feel bad for Young Jock. Like, every time I see him and Kendra having a little spats, man, it just look like Jock is a nigga that always on the defensive, man, and she talk to him like he a little boy, man. And like I said, I feel bad for him because, like, man, no nigga want to be in a relationship where his wife talks to him like that. But at the same time, some of the shit she get on him about, like, come on, Jock, you got to do better. You know, you got this little girl trying to move in on the territory, that working on your team and all this other shit, man, making it look like you fucking around again, whether you are, whether you're not, that don't mean nothing. If you're not. But the optics of it look real bad, and then, like I said, his wife just talking to you like you a little nigga. He be looking so spaced out when she be talking to him, like. And I know part of it, like, I know we doing this for the cameras, man, and it's all good, but she just going so hard, man. Just damn that nigga, whoa, damn Jock. I seen people are not happy about the Joker 2 movie. I really haven't been motivated to go see this thing, but from just the response that I've seen from people, just don't seem to be too happy about it. And, you know, my thing about it was from the beginning, and I understand what they were trying to do. I really do. But Joker is a character who his origin story for years have been like unknown, kind of murky, you know. Just kind of jump right into him being Batman's biggest nemesis. So for them to go back and try to tell a story about who he is and give him some type of a name, give him a story to make him more relatable to the audience, man, I'm just like, do we really need that? So when they start doing this, and you start giving these little nuggets to people who are watching, you know, it's just like, how do we feel about this? And then like the other thing too, to introduce Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn this early in the story of the Joker, and we ain't even introduced Batman yet. It's like, wow, because I'm like, damn, did she get created because Joker was having a back and forth with Batman? I mean, I know she was around, but to introduce her as Harley Quinn right now, it's kind of wild in the story. I mean, you could do what you want to do telling the story, but it's just, you got to take a lot of liberties to do that. And they keep giving all these little characters, man, that we've seen so many different times. They keep trying to get these different takes on them. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. How many different takes on these characters we're gonna have in my lifetime? Like, damn, we done had Heath Ledger play the Joker. We had Joaquin Phoenix play the Joker. Wasn't it Joaquin Phoenix? Man, Joaquin Phoenix play the Joker. And then we got this dude playing the Joker. I don't remember his name. Of course we had the Jack Nicholas Joker. We had so many different versions of the Joker. Shit. And about a million different versions of all these damn rogues gallery villains. As shit, we had Batman, but at this point in time, probably someone, we had more. You know, they got the Penguin series on Max right now, which takes place after the Batman. And I hear people kind of like it. Gotham City is one where you can do a lot of storytelling, but at the end of the day, man, we know Batman is the key component in Gotham City. So you can talk about the undercurrent all you want to, but everybody know Bruce there, and Bruce is gonna be fucking people up. And if Bruce is not fucking people up, what we doing? We talk about it before he there, when he not, when he gone. All right, shit. I mean, Bruce do be gone a lot, but still. Let's see. All right, let's get to some fuck news. Fuck news. Melania Trump claimed that Barron would refuse a bank account because of cancel culture. She wrote in a book about, you know, her time after, you know, after the 2020 election and, you know, the transition between them and the new regime that was coming in, and how people have accepted them. Now, here's the thing that I think is crazy. As many people, now I say there's a lot, as many people who love that nigga, who love her husband, it's hard to believe that they claiming victim right now over some shit where people don't want to fuck with them. Because people, this nigga, hey, listen, man, this nigga tried to take over the government, and people still was out here like, yep, he should be next president. He should be next president. And people still fighting for that. So to sit there and say that somebody didn't want to fuck with you at the bank, which is crazy. After I get my next article out of the way, I'm going, it's just funny about how these motherfuckers try to play this victim role on some shit, man, and try to come out and talk about how people be targeting them when they don't get their way. And it's just so funny to me, man. I'll just look like, man, white people don't get their way, they say some of the most outlandish shit. Like, come on, man. Ain't nobody believing shit. Dog, I was sitting in my car walking on my son to get back to practice, man, and they ran an attack ad talking about migrants coming to the country, calling them illegals and everything. It's saying that Kamala Harris is going to let them in, and these people are criminals. And for them being criminals, instead of sending them back to their country or sending them to prison, they're going to give them transgender surgeries paid for by the government. And I was like, nigga, that is the most outlandish and ridiculous shit to even make a claim on. And then the fact that they're even making it worse, there are people who believe that shit. Now, I was laughing so hard. Like, come on, man. Like, hey, look, man. You're a criminal. You're doing hard time, and this is what we're going to do for you. Instead of throwing you to jail, we're going to change your gender. And we not even gonna charge you for it, man. You can have transgender surgery. Like, what the fuck? Who the fuck signing up for that wasn't looking for that already? You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's what somebody was trying to do, like, hey, man, I need to get to the United States because, you know, it's a place where I can get a gender swap surgery a lot easier and under less scrutiny than I can in my home country. That's one thing. But to be like, you know what? I don't want to go to prison. Swap my gender. just stupid, man. That's stupid ass shit. It's some dumb ass shit, man. The motherfucking things these motherfuckers be saying is so dumb. Speaking of some more dumb shit, Elon Musk, I hear you talking about how the government is keeping people from being able to, you know, access motherfucking aid after Hurricane Helena, whatever it was. It started with an H. I don't know. And he's one of the latest figures and one of the most notable figures talking about this release effort being hampered. Dog. And so this is what I'm saying. Number one, when these motherfuckers don't get their way, they do access it. But on top of that, they always want to holler at these conspiracy theories about how somebody trying to keep them from doing what they want to do, like censoring them on social media and this and the other. But they always stop short of when the shit actually has happened or is happening, and they'll never want to talk about that. They'll never say that. They always walk out here about how they been treated wrong, but they'll never co-op some of the other struggles that other people have in this country where the government has been fucking them over. And it's funny because when they say shit, the shit that they've been saying, people will come right out and be like, man, that shit ain't true. But there's some things that this country have done to groups of people in this motherfucker that when people come out and clamor about it, and motherfuckers don't say shit. The government don't deny it. They don't accept it. They don't do nothing. They don't take no responsibility for it. They don't try to fix it. They just do it. Like, man, all these civil rights leaders, man, that they were trying to take off the board in the 70s, man, and even later, that they were just out here just putting together a whole task force to get rid of, put dirt on their name so they can get them out the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I watched Judas and the Black Messiah, man. That movie is fucking, oh, it is a literary art in just some of the whack shit that this government did. Like, they planted a black man inside the motherfucking organization to basically give them the details of what Fred Hampton was doing so they can go in there and assassinate this man in his sleep. They gave him something so that he would go to sleep so he wouldn't be alert when they went there to kill him. A young man, by the way. He was in his 20s. But I mean, if you say, yeah, that was a conspiracy the government pulled together, man, right there, man. They went out there, they actually put in the mold, man, so they can kill this man. And a hush falls over the crowd. You ain't gonna talk about that? You won't talk about how they not giving the country folks some aid right now, not considering the fact that some of the aid that they're trying to get to these folks, they couldn't get to them at the time because they was in these remote locations and they couldn't get there. Yeah. You mean to talk about how, like, after Katrina, like, there were whole neighborhoods, they were just like, fuck this neighborhood, dog. We ain't finna try to go in and fix it. Better yet, for just to let it stay torn down and then we can go rebuild some other shit on top of it and not even bring back the people that originally lived there. Shit like that. Like, this country that where redlining was a practice in so many cities. I mean, small cities, small towns, large cities, you know, where they were just basically like, hey, we not fucking this, with this part of town, man. Whoever live over there just got to fend for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. This motherfucker be like, but no. They wouldn't give me a checking account at the bank. You know how many niggas that went to the bank trying to get a loan for a small business they've been running forever, but they just need some extra money just so they can keep their business afloat? Did the bank look at them like, you've never taken a loan out before, and where you get all that cash from that you've been working with? You know what I'm saying? Like, you never depended on us for your business, and now why you up in here right now? Or you trying to get a house? Oh, you trying to move in this white neighborhood? Yeah, you know what we need to do? We need to reject this application right now. Or, you know, shit, motherfucker can't get jobs because their name just sounds a little too black. Shit like that. But they want to talk about the government trying to keep them from getting motherfucking getting aid during the hurricane. And we've seen that shit happen. Oh man, these motherfuckers are hilarious, bro. I just laugh every time I see one of these articles come out, man. They start bringing that war is me shit, I'm like, you only care about your people, huh? Like, you ain't talking about from a situation of where a lot of people get fucked up. It's just some fictional people you just pull out your ass that are the victims of some unfortunate shit, and that the government is at play on this. Gotcha. I see what you're saying. I gotcha. Shoot, I'm trying to think what has been happening in fucking news this week. Oh man, can't even think. Some of the stuff I didn't even save to talk about. So I guess I need to move along, man. Let's move along. Don't see any delay. Don't delay on it. Mark Robinson, somebody came out, you know, been said that the allegations that came out against him were basically brought from inside the house. I'm like, yeah, why not? Why not? His own people don't want him around? Of course. Of course they don't want him around. Well, speaking of Mark Robinson, man, let's get into the Tasty Blacks top 10 ranking this week. You know, that's what, because that wild boy, that wild boy of Mark Robinson, he love him some old smut. Mm-hmm. So this week, we're going to start off with number 10 is gay porn. Number 9 is amateurs. The tripod is up and the sound is all kind of fucked up and there's all kind of shit in the background, and maybe they're in a hotel, maybe they're in somebody's bedroom, you know, maybe the lighting ain't that great, but it's the amateur porn. Dogging, aka the doggy style porn. If it's a scene, then do more than just doggy style, but there are a lot of the little amateur scenes that all you catch is back shots. You don't see no face, no case. So there you go. That's coming in at number 8. Number 7 is threesomes. Everybody love them a threesome. Get them a 2-on-1 going and let it roll. And number 6, we got lesbian porn. Number 5, we got blowjobs. Because, you know, niggas like seeing other niggas get they junk slobbered on. You know. Not judging at all. Number 4, we got mature. Grown ass women. They ain't got the little perfect petite bodies, man. They just full figure women. They got that. They still carrying that little baby weight on them. You know what I'm saying? They got the older ladies with the little silver hair, man. You know what I'm saying? That mature porn. You know what I'm saying? Number 4. And number 3, you got them BBWs because, hey, man, we love us some big, beautiful women. You know, you love them thick ones. You know what I'm saying? They get you a thick one in there, man. You get to taking her down through there, man. You get to crushing them pink cookies in the plastic bag, my boy. The Mark Robinson section here, transgender porn, that comes in at number 2. And big ass is at number 1. So, you know, there's a lot of love for the plumpness, the matures, and the full figure woman. Shout out to y'all for giving it all a platform. Now, that's the top 10. Last week, I did drop the Thursdays. I'm trying to think who was the Thursdays 5-star follower. I can't remember who it was. Oh, yes, I do remember who it was. Speaking of the thickness, man, Isabel Miller, man. Another one of them dark skin, heavy set, full figure woman. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, she dipped her toe in the adult game for a while. You search her on the sites, you probably can catch a couple scenes with her, you know, doing her thing. But, you know, she's just basically just getting on social media and just flexing herself in the bikini, you know, the tightest bikini she can get on that full figure body. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I think it's how I'm about to go down, man. This show holding long. It was a real, real in and out one. Like I said, sports-wise, there wasn't a lot going on. And since some games going on this week, I kind of got a late start talking because I was doing some stuff. And then this weekend, I got an event to travel to. So, hey, man, y'all can listen to this show while y'all doing what you're getting your weekend together. Maybe you can, right before you get on the football games of the week. I did drop a couple of videos of some things that I've been playing on the Xbox. Let's see. That's it, man. It's been a long day for me, man. I had to start my day early, man. I had to come in and fix the leak, man. My yard, my house had a leak in underneath the motherfucking foundation in the pipes, dog, and it was flooding the neighborhood. No lie. Like I had a puddle in my yard, but it was going everywhere. So they finally came and sent somebody over, man. I just had to take the day to sit here while they dig up all the concrete, man, jackhammer all that shit, and get down in there and find out where the leak was and plug that up. But other than that, man, I'm just ready to get. Well, they got 2 weeks before I go on vacation again, man. Take a little brief vacation. I'm gonna do that, man, and enjoy my time, man. And as for the show, man, it has been my time. So till next time, y'all. I appreciate y'all for listening. I'm about to get out this thing, man. Probably gonna go hit this bed. I will be posting something on my personal page for those of you who catch up me there. Just trying some new recipes and stuff. I find this little nice little stuffed manicotti recipe that I wanted to finally do, and I finally got a chance to buy all the ingredients for that. So yeah, man, that's the show, man. I appreciate y'all for listening. Like I said, it's a real quick thing. Got in, got out, less than an hour. Little quick listen. So appreciate y'all for coming through, fucking with your boy, man. Until next time, man. I'm out this thing. Peace.
Deuce, motherfucker.
This has been a Dr. Abrasive presentation.